Hello, everyone, and welcome to Crushing Healthcare, where we explore diverse perspectives regarding the state of healthcare today and gutsy visions for a more affordable, accessible, equitable, and sustainable healthcare model. My name is Lisa Farron. I'm excited to cover today's topic, and I'm excited for our guest. In particular, she's going to be sharing her expertise on the subject. So in many past episodes, we've talked about the challenges in healthcare today. Today, we're going to examine this through the eyes and the lens and experiences of a medical practice administrator. To help us break down the growing administrative burdens, the tools, the resources used to address these challenges, here's some of the topics we're going to talk about today. Running an independent medical practice has never been more complex than it is now, and our guest today really can speak to this firsthand. So with us, we have Amy Boltby McKinnon. Amy serves as the Regional Operations Manager at Allervie Health in Connecticut, overseeing four allergy, asthma, and immunology clinics. With roots in business and higher education, she combines strategy with heart, leading teams who are deeply committed to providing outstanding care to patients every day. Amy is energized by challenges, loves innovating within healthcare operations, and is passionate about supporting her team as they navigate the ever-changing healthcare environment. So with that, welcome, Amy, to Crushing Healthcare.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm thrilled to be here.
Awesome. So, all right, well, let's dive in and get started. I suspect that the average person really has no idea what is involved in practice administration. They go see their provider, their doctor, and you know, they know that there's the office staff, but really no clue what's involved in the whole process. As a leader in medical practice administration, can you start by telling us a little bit about the practice, the clinics you're responsible for, and maybe push aside this curtain that gives us a glimpse into the breadth and depth of what it is you do each day?
Thank you. And it's right. I think as most people have no sense of what it takes to bring the care to the patient that is so pivotal in people's lives. So most people only experience healthcare at the point of care. So they see our front desk staff, they go into the exam room, they see the provider, but they are not seeing the extensive operational framework that supports all of that and that really has to function smoothly to make the experience feel simple and seamless to the patient. So as you said, I oversee four asthma and allergy clinics across Connecticut every day. And my responsibilities span a breadth and depth of things that I do. So I, you know, involved in staffing, scheduling, clinic operations from beginning to end. I am responsible for compliance and regulatory oversight, which nowadays is becoming even more critical in the operations of clinics. Financial performance, seeing what we're doing, how we're doing it, patient experience, patient safety, the facility management. So if we have any issues going on within the clinic, if our heating's not working, our air conditioning's not working, those types of things. So I oversee all of that. Billing oversight. I deal with patient concerns or escalations. I work with our vendors and partner coordination. So things like our lab partners, like Quest, also our referral partners. And I'm also focusing on strategic growth. So those are all of the things that you're looking at when you're trying to have a successful practice, because all of those things at the end of the day really directly impact what the patient experiences. And so I also, one of the other things we have in Glastonbury is, which is unique to us, is we have an immunotherapy lab located in our Glastonbury clinic, and we actually prepare all our custom allergy serums for all of our Connecticut patients. So we've got that piece that needs to be overseen. And then on top of those things, the staffing. So supporting the staff, coaching physicians, nurses, the medical assistants and front office teams, so that you have an HR responsibility as well as those operational responsibilities. So really, my role is about trying to make things as easy for our clinicians to really focus on patient care. And so again, I'm taking the burden of everything else on and allowing the providers to focus on delivering what the patient needs. And so again, that includes solving staffing challenges, trying to improve workflows, something we're always looking at, you know, what can we do better what needs to shift to make a better impact or a different experience or a better experience for our patients. You have to manage budgets. No one likes that word, but that's critical as well. We have to troubleshoot systems. It was a big focus this morning, actually, and to always continuously trying to refine how we operate. So really running a clinic is a blend of logistics, leadership, finance, problem solving, and it's all really rooted in trying to build systems and cultures that really support high quality, compassionate care. And you're always trying to scan the landscape of the healthcare environment, looking for opportunities to improve our clinics, to improve our, again, our workflows, refining those, adding different tools that may make the patient experience better, easier. So it's a very dynamic field to be in.
Dynamic, that's the word from what you just described. Absolutely. You've described juggling so many different balls at the same time to really make sure that, as you said, the providers can focus on patient care and making sure that all aspects of the patient experience is elevated and for the staff as well, so things can move smoothly. So we know that the healthcare landscape continues to grow in complexity with each day. And with that, managing the practice clearly requires more and new responsibilities. What would you say are the biggest and or the most common challenges that you face each day?
As you said, healthcare has really grown increasingly complex, and there are so many different factors that influence that landscape now, including AI. But one of the main challenges I think that we face is trying to balance delivering exceptional patient care with the expanding administrative, regulatory, and financial pressures. And those are very real. Reimbursements are thinning, and that's a challenge because you want to operate at a certain level. So reimbursement challenges, prior authorizations, so getting those medications approved for patients ahead of time, staffing shortages or challenges, rising operating costs, compliance requirements, and again, as I spoke to the rapidly evolving technology, they're all creating layers of complexity. And each challenge, if it were on its own, is manageable. But unfortunately, the reality is that one of those is never individually or independently on its own. They're happening collectively. And that's where the real strain gets placed. So for me, I think staffing remains a major focus. And is very common, and anyone who is in the healthcare field knows burnout is a real issue across healthcare. So recruiting, training, and retaining skilled team members while protecting the morale and well-being is really an ongoing challenge and something that is a real focus and a major priority. Compounding this is the reality that illness can quickly destabilize even the best staffing plans. And this season, we've had viruses, including the wicked norovirus that shut down a lot of activities across Connecticut in the past 2 months. And these things impact not only our team members directly, but also their families. So many of our staff are parents. And when their children are sick, they need to stay home, as they should. So to put this in perspective, 1 week we had 4 nurses call out. And again, unlike some operations, you know, if we were in banking or a different industry, you potentially can operate shorthanded. But in healthcare, you cannot safely operate shorthanded. So if we don't have appropriate supervising providers or licensed nursing staff in place, we're unable to safely run our clinics. And that can mean really difficult decisions that end up causing clinics to close, or you're suspending certain types of services. For example, we offer walk-in immunotherapy. We've had to close walk-in services. The closures are understandably frustrating for patients, particularly because we offer those walk-in shot clinics. But the reality is that patient safety always has to come first. And when illness impacts staffing, sometimes closure is the only responsible option for us, even when it's unpopular. The other thing that's always a constant pressure is time. Everything feels urgent. And so a lot of times you're triaging, and not just medically triaging, but you're determining where the priority that you need to focus on at that moment is. And again, with competing demands, that's very challenging. And I think another significant challenge beyond managing multiple competing demands is the lack of predictability. And I think often the biggest difficulty in a day is not knowing what challenges will arise. So the spectrum can be really wide. In our clinics, you can be managing a serious patient reaction, dealing with multiple staff callouts, maybe a patient who got scheduled incorrectly, a provider illness. We've had issues where serums haven't arrived on time. There could be something in the lab. So the lack of predictability, you never know what you might have to deal with in that day. And that creates challenges, and they require rapid decision-making, really clear communication, and you are constantly trying to balance patient safety, staff well-being, access to care. Well, on top of all of that, navigating the challenging, you know, reimbursement environment that we're in now.
Well, okay, that's a lot, Amy. So many different things that you just described. My head's kind of spinning. And you're dealing with this every day at every moment, essentially. So many factors at play, and many of which you described completely cannot be anticipated and out of your control. Like you mentioned, the illnesses and having to deal with staffing issues. You know, you have to be on your toes at all times, it sounds. And looking at this for me personally, like as a patient, yeah, I don't even realize all the things that are happening behind the scenes. And it gives me a new appreciation for everything that's going on. It sounds to me, the way I hear it, with every moment you're evaluating, you're reevaluating, you're deciding, you're pivoting just to make sure that life goes on, if you will. Like the things keep pushing out, patients are seen, and exceptional patient care is what really it sounds like. You're always aiming for that, which is great. And I get the sense that you don't settle. You may have exceptional patient care, but you're always aiming for better.
Always. I think the mindset in healthcare is that it has to be continuous improvement, and you have to be continually scanning the environment, seeing is someone doing something better, differently, faster, more efficiently for patients. And I think it's really important to, again, scan the landscape. Be ready to pivot, because if you can find something that improves the patient experience, that is a win for everybody. And so the pivoting and scanning are constant in our environment.
Absolutely. Yes. And I would say, I think that generally speaking, people's expectations just go higher and higher too. So it's almost like, you know, you kind of need to keep innovating, because it's so easy now. This is a whole other podcast, but it's so easy for patients to research other things and pick other options. So you really need to make sure that you're innovating and improving the experience. And of course, while you're doing all this, you're also just doing the routine day-to-day things that you have to do to keep the clinic chugging along. So how would you say all these issues that you've just kind of described, the administrative burdens, how are they impacting your practice in terms of the staff, your providers, and even patients?
I think that administrative burdens affect every part of the healthcare ecosystem, from the patient right up to the providers. For staff and providers, these administrative burdens can increase workload. They increase stress and fatigue, and that can pull time and energy away from direct patient care, which, again, at the end of the day, is the most meaningful part of the work. And so when you're dealing with administrative tasks or burdens or layers, that detracts from what you really want to do, and that's to spend time delivering that exceptional patient care. For patients, the burdens can appear for patients as delays in scheduling. They can lead to longer wait times, insurance barriers, confusion around approvals and next steps. As you know, in allergy and immunology, we have a lot of patients that are on biologics. But again, those administrative burdens around accessing biologics can be very difficult for patients to navigate through, and they don't always understand how lengthy and in-depth that process is. And everyone wants an immediate response to everything, and they want what they want when they want it. And sometimes that just can't happen despite our best efforts. So part of my role is acting as a buffer against all of these pressures. Another critical area is payer relationships. When we have issues with the insurers or a change in payer rules, which we've seen a lot of lately, it can directly impact our billing, our patient accounts, and can ultimately impact the patient's experience and trust. And so right now, trying to stay on top of payer requirements, eligibility, and reimbursement changes is essential to preventing delays. We're trying to reduce that patient frustration and ensure financial clarity for both us and the patient as well. We mix serums for patients. And so one of the things that we're seeing a change in is the number of units that can be billed for patients for their serums. And that's very difficult when their treatment modality is not aligned with that. So it's that type of thing that we're trying to navigate. So another example of how administrative and external factors can impact care is in medication access. We look back recently, we had that big storm that everyone got hit with across the US, and that caused massive widespread shipping delays, and that affects timely delivery of biologic medications, for example. These situations that are entirely outside of a clinic's control are very tough because they require rapid coordination with manufacturers, providers, patients to maybe adjust treatment plans. You're trying to communicate with patients when things like that and minimize disruption to care, things that are all out of your control, but you're trying to control what you can. So you just try to build strong workflows, support systems, and staffing models that can pivot and be flexible.
The weather certainly cannot be controlled. And from a patient perspective, it wouldn't occur to me about how a major winter storm can impact that. So good examples. There's clearly challenges that you are facing, numerous, I get too many to count, and that can't be avoided. And in your role, Amy, you know, it sounds like you're truly on the front line. I'm going to call you the chief problem solver. In what you're doing each day, what are some of the strategies, the tools, are there resources that you lean into to help you in alleviating some of these administrative burdens?
First of all, I really try to develop strong teams, and I feel it's really important to empower my teams. As a leader, I want to have people around me that can react in real time. So if I'm not there or not available to be the chief problem solver, that they have the confidence and know they have my support. Again, as long as we have the same end goal, which is to deliver exceptional patient care and experience, that there's a trust that they can manage those things. So again, having people that you trust, letting them know they're trusted and empowering them becomes very important because you can't be everywhere at all times. I'm becoming increasingly impressed by some of the tools that technology provides us that allows us to streamline workflows. Most people are using electronic medical record systems. We're trying to use automation tools, look at how we're scheduling with optimization. And we also use AI-supported documentation, which has been really essential in reducing administrative burden for my providers. Those types of things are relying on technology to help lift the load. Again, allows the patient a better experience because the provider can really focus on the patient and what the patient experience is supposed to be rather than trying to figure out how they're charting and taking all the notes. They know that that is being taken care of. So standardization is another big role, and creating consistent protocols across our clinics makes things a lot easier. Collaboration is another big tool that I use, working with different partners, coming together when we have an issue and working to resolve it. The other thing that really helps me, I have to say, is Sohn. So thank you. I recently had some of the payer landscape changed a little bit, and having that partnership with an organization like Sohn Health really helped me rather than me running around trying to find an answer. It was, here's the person, here's someone who will help you navigate. Yes, your understanding is correct of this. Here's how else we can help. And just knowing that you've got those support and where to go to get it, I think that is one of the biggest tools, is knowing who to ask, knowing where to go. And so that the network that you build around you becomes really critical to success. I'd like to build a network, and I don't like to reinvent the wheel. I always say I'll put on new hubcaps, but I don't want to reinvent the wheel. Someone somewhere has done something. So can I take that and make it better? So looking for other best practices is something that I really use as well to face challenges, see who else has resolved something similar or been in a similar situation, and how was it handled?
That's awesome and true. Really, I think in any industry, I like what you say, rather than rebuilding or reinventing the wheel, because yeah, somebody has always experienced the problem first and thought of some sort of workaround. So good approaches. I really like the philosophy that you said of sort of working smarter rather than harder. It's not a new idea, but it's not always one that's easy to put into practice. And it sounds like you've definitely come up with some tools and strategies to make that work, because it is so easy to fall into the old trap of just doing things the way they've always been done, simply because it's comfortable. And sometimes it's harder to think outside the box and find solutions. So I like that. And I applaud you. You sort of have that as the guiding point that you use, and not being soloed. You talked about leaning into colleagues and other best practices. So all of that, I think, really helps, which is great. And of course, you mentioned Sohn Health, which we're glad that the network is helping you with that. That's the ultimate goal at Sohn, is to help alleviate burdens and create sustainability for independent practices. So glad to hear that. One thing you said too that kind of resonated with me is that we all can and should support and learn from one another. And so I think that's great. I like that you're leaning on others and providing advice to who you can to support as well. So all really good things, all very positive. So for those who listen to Crushing Healthcare, one thing that I always try and do as we wrap up is a simple call to action for people listening. I like when people have a takeaway that they can think about and maybe put into action. As you were talking, Amy, about striving for excellence, is there anything that patients or maybe family members of patients that they can do to help you in your pursuit of delivering an outstanding patient experience when they're visiting the clinic?
I do very much believe that healthcare is a partnership. It's a partnership between the patient and the care providers. So those are partnerships with our nurses, partnerships with our front desk teams, and then ultimately that partnership with your provider. And so open communication, asking questions, sharing concerns that patients have, and staying engaged in the care process really do make a meaningful difference. And some of the simple actions, again, seemingly simple actions, but very, very impactful, are arriving on time, keeping the appointment. If things happen, if you can't keep the appointment, communicating what's going on so that we can try to pivot. We have wait lists. Someone could be waiting. Completing paperwork in advance and responding to messages that we send out. A lot of times patients, we're getting so much communication, and so it's another text, but please confirm so we know you're actually coming. What's information about, was your insurance needed to be updated? So making sure that it's an us together and not a you and them. And I think also one of the best actions that I can recommend to patients is to ask questions about their healthcare insurance and get an understanding of that. It always surprises me, and never in a good way, about how little understanding people have of their health insurance. And it's unpleasant to see a patient get a bill because their healthcare insurance doesn't cover something robustly enough, and to see that surprise or a lack of understanding about how their insurance works. So I think those things, being knowledgeable about what your insurance is, what your needs are, and understanding it, is important. Finally, I think that one of the other things is kindness matters. And our healthcare teams, more and more now, we're operating on leaner teams in general in healthcare in the United States. And so healthcare teams are working under significant pressure, and a word of appreciation or understanding goes a long way. And I think when patients and healthcare teams work together, the result is always a better experience, better outcomes, and better care for everyone. You know, we don't want to run late, and we want to make sure that the provider gets time that is needed with the patient. So if someone comes in late and we've taken the patient in, and so then that the next patient runs late, a little grace and understanding that hopefully people, that do unto others rule. If you want the same time with the healthcare provider, you wouldn't want us to turn you away. So just taking a moment to understand the situation that we're in, that we're all people, we're all trying to do the best that we can, and our goal is always to care for the patient. but a little grace, a little kindness, a thank you goes a long way with my team and with the providers.
Yes, yes, yes to all of that. That was just so well articulated. All very actionable tips too. Important reminders, I think, for all of us as patients when we're there in the office to remember. Medical visits, they're inherently anxiety provoking for people and people are stressed, but it's important to remember, particularly in those moments, that the providers and the staff are working for us to deliver the best care possible. And, you know, if things are kind of going off track, you're all stressed too. So we don't all need to add stress on top of stress, I guess. So we all deserve some patience and understanding and kindness. Yes. Kindness goes a long way.
So it does go a long way. And I think one of the other trends that I see is that people come in and they come in for an appointment and they think that they're going to be the appointment, they will be out and on to their next appointment 20 minutes later. And we've had patients who have had to wait. We've had some longer wait times. We have a reaction. If a patient's had a reaction, we've had to have paramedics come in. So those delays, obviously they can see them, those delays, and know what's going on. But we've had patients who think that at 15 minutes, they should have been in, out with the doctor. And again, that's just not realistic in today's care environment. And so allowing the time so that you don't feel rushed for your appointment. So that's something as well for people to understand that appointments do take time if you're looking for the level of care that everyone should expect.
Yep, absolutely. Patience, understanding, kindness, it's all very powerful. Really good information. Thank you so much, Amy. It's just been so great chatting with you. Speaking for myself, at least, I know I now have a new appreciation for all that goes into keeping a practice running, to making sure that patient visits keep happening and moving along, and just kind of a new appreciation for the hundreds of things behind the scenes that can be going on to keeping things from running smoothly. So I've learned I'm definitely going to extend more patience, and I appreciate that. So thanks for sharing all your perspectives, and thank you for all you do.
Thank you. I love it. The patients are amazing. You know, we're very lucky, and overall patients are fabulous. So it really is a dynamic industry to be in, but it's a very rewarding field to be in. And so I feel very lucky. I feel lucky to have the team that I have, my providers, and our patients. So it's a lot of work, but so, so worth it.
That's a great way to end. Thank you so much. Thanks again, Amy. Thanks again, everyone, for listening. Let's all remember that we all have a role to play in healthcare transformation. So please join us in crushing healthcare.